the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this program. Today's special. Our topic is, what is taqleed?
First met you, I felt that God answered my call. There was that one place I always thought about, and I just wanted to be there with you. The place that no eye has ever seen, the place that no heart has ever perceived. I had a great feeling inside of me that one day I'd be there with you.
Today, Monday, is the 19th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Khordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter An-Nahl, verse 43 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
And we sent not before you except men to whom we revealed our message. So ask the people of the message if you do not know.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This noble verse deals with a general universal principle which is acceptable by human reason, and it is referring whatever one is not knowledgeable about to the experts in that field. That is, for whatever you do not know, you may ask the knowledgeable ones. Certainly, the best example in religious issues is the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, who can provide the point of reference. What is taqlid? Taqlid literally means to follow someone, to imitate. In Islamic legal terminology, it means to follow a mujtahid in religious laws and commandments as he has derived them. A mujtahid is a person who is an expert of Islamic jurisprudence or fiqh. He is also called a faqih. Man's nature dictates that he can only function properly within a society, and a society depends for its existence on laws and regulations. Islam teaches that Allah has sent a series of messengers and prophets with divine laws for man's guidance from the very beginning of his existence. When the present Imam, peace be upon him, went into his greater occultation, the Shia were obliged to observe taqlid in their religious affairs.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In Shia communities, we find that Shias are recommended to emulate or to follow a great mujtahid. In the time of the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, we find that not only, it wasn't possible for everybody from anywhere to have access to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in Medina, nor was it feasible for all people in Medina to have access to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Moreover, at times it happened to the infallible Imams to be living in a state that all transactions, transactions were closely watched by the governing rulers of the time. So it was necessary for other people, it was necessary that reliable people would be present and would be accessible to other people so that they might ask the questions of them. At the same time, we find that whenever it comes to being directed in religious matters, we find that logically it's true to be, to have some reliable authorities as our references, as our, reliable people who would answer our religious queries. And now we find that those people who are learned enough, who studied enough in Shia seminaries, so that they would know enough in these details, they can act as references for other people, reliable references for other people to direct them in religious matters.
This is IRIB English Radio, today's special. And now, why should we do Taqlid in religious problems? This is as logical to construct a building we require a mason, and for stitching clothes we require a tailor, and when we are ill we go to a doctor. In short, intellect and nature direct us towards the person who is expert in his field. This is the same logic which directs the people towards jurisprudence for religious instructions and spiritual laws, who are expert in understanding the commands of Allah. Those jurisprudents that with their special talent and knowledge have worked hard for years and reached a high level of ijtihad, if means they have the ability to derive the original matter of the spiritual command and convey it to the ordinary people, those mujtahids who are the religious leaders and guides of people who got this great position from the holy imams, so that they can guide people toward goodness in all religious sphere.
Show me a way to return to Him in show me a way and I begun tomorrow. For there is only one way for you and me. Show me the way.
The necessary conditions for qualification as a mujtahid. That is the title of this part. Dear brothers and sisters, it can easily be inferred from the ahadith that becoming an expert in fiqh and the other Islamic sciences is not in itself enough for qualification as a mujtahid whom everyone can follow. In addition to this, Islamic law lays down that a mujtahid should be a freeman who is past the age of puberty, sane, a Shia, and just person. As to the question of how an ordinary believer should discover who is the mujtahid he must follow, there are three recognized ways. Number one, by his own personal knowledge, if he is himself a religious scholar. Number two, by the testimony of two knowledgeable persons to someone's being a mujtahid. Number three, by a degree of popularity which leaves no doubt as to a person's being a mujtahid.
This hadith is narrated by Muhammad ibn Ubaidah. He said, قَالَ لِي أَبُو الْحَسَنِ. Abu al-Hasan alayhi salam is a title shared by a number of imams. In this hadith, it's referring to al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. One of his titles, one of his kunya, was Abu al-Hasan. Ya Muhammad, أَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ تَقْلِيدًا أَمِ الْمُرْجِئَةِ. Muhammad ibn Ubaidah was a Shia. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam asked him, are you better followers or the murji'ah? The murji'ah basically were those who opposed the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. Those who did not really consider the authority of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam to be the authority right after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. They postponed Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam from his divinely given position. So the Imam alayhi salam is saying, you, the Shia, are you better followers or our enemies, the other schools of thought? They're better followers. And Imam Ridha is asking him this question. What did he reply? قَالَ قُلْتُ قَلَّدْنَا وَقَلَّدُوا. We both follow. We're followers, we do taqleed, they do taqleed. In other words, he was saying, we follow you, the Ahlul Bayt, and they follow others. The Imam alayhi salam says, لَمْ أَسْأَلْكَ عَنْ هَذَا. Answer precisely. I did not ask you that. I did not tell you that you both follow. I specifically asked you, who's a better follower? So after he asked him that, he's like, I didn't have an answer. I didn't know what to tell him. فقال أبو الحسن عليه السلام إن المرجئة نصبت رجلا لم تفرض طاعته وقلدوه. It seems the Imam عليه السلام in this hadith and in other similar hadiths, he's really explaining highlighting the injustice that was done to Ahlul Bayt and how they were betrayed. He says the other schools of thought, they followed figures whom they did not believe you really had to follow, but they followed them well. As for you, the Shia, you believe that God appointed us the Imams of Ahlul Bayt and that you have to follow us, but you didn't follow us. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam has a similar statement in criticizing his companions. He says, I am on the haq, and you know that I am on the haq, but you don't obey me. Muawiyah is on falsehood. Muawiyah is on batil. Yet his people follow him and they obey him. The Imam alayhi salam says, I wish I could switch 10 of you with one of the supporters of Muawiyah.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعل به درجات نعل به درجات.
Food for thought.
everyone, and here is something worth contemplating upon in the words of the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The portals of repentance are open for everybody. Hence, repent to God sincerely, so that your Lord may forgive your sins.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In this segment of the beautiful tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we see that that component that has been mentioned for the side of Jahl is something that has been mentioned previously. But if we really consider, as I mentioned, that understanding of a particular word can be better understood by looking at its opposite, which in this case is extremely important because this is what the Imam is trying to show us, we see that that hirs that has been mentioned here is different from that hirs that was mentioned previously. Previously, that hirs was mentioned in contrast to tawakkul. Here, hirs is mentioned in contrast and as the opposite to qunu'. Not qunut, qunu'. Qunu means contentment, that a person is satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to give him. And he sees it as a blessing. And, you know, he does not seek anymore. Say, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to give me, it does not mean that a person does not make effort. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give every single person according to the effort that they put in. If, for example, a person has to get a particular amount of wealth, if he does not go and seek it, he will not get it. There are certain things that a person will get regardless. For example, oxygen. But if a person decides not to breathe and close his own mouth and nose with his hand and block that particular blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him, that provision, obviously he's not going to get it. So what we mean here is not that a person is content with what he has and doesn't make the effort. No, this is not what the Imam is saying. The Imam is saying that that person is content with the effort he makes. He makes the effort, and he makes the effort to the best of his ability. But what comes that is out of his control, he is content with. what he is given because of that effort, he is content with. As long as, you know, he is able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he gets him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other side, that a person makes effort, obviously, but the effort is because he is seeking more and more and more, and he's not satisfied by getting with what he has. This leads to other things. For example, cheating. For example, backstabbing, backbiting, and also the other illicit and evil traits and evil deeds. Why? In order for a person to reach higher positions of wealth, of power, you know, of social position and so on and so forth. So therefore, contentment is not only of wealth, contentment of anything and everything, whether it be wealth, financial status, same thing with wealth, social status, position, it's not important. What is important is that a person understands that all of this comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verse 35 of Surah An-Nur, recited by Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad, the Egyptian reciter.
مثل نور كمشكاة
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of verse 35 of Surah An-Nur, recited by Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, Abdul Basit, everyone knows him for his
golden voice.
His great voice, his beautiful voice. And this is like the best thing about Abdul Basit, okay? Like, his voice is so outstanding that if you just listen to it, you wouldn't care about, you probably wouldn't care about the other aspects of recitation, such as the intonation and the maqamat, the special movement between the maqamat, and playing with the maqamat.
You mean it covers all deficiencies?
No, it doesn't cover the deficiency, but it is so good that we
can't
don't
be ignored.
Yeah,
the other elements.
We don't feel a deficiency. Okay, we could say that for most people. Okay, it's something that ordinary people, they really like Abdul Basit's recitation due to his voice, his great voice. And he recites in such a way, he recites in a very simple manner, okay? Mm-hmm. He doesn't make his recitation very complicated. He only moves between, like, four notes, okay?
Yes.
This is why he is very popular among people. Another thing about Abdul Basit is his excellent tajweed. He is a very good tajweed. And he observes all of the rules of tajweed, and he has very good fasaha. Mm-hmm. If you listen to Abdul Basit, you'll notice that his fathas sound different from those reciters that don't have good fasaha.
Yeah.
For example, he says, Allahu nuru samawati. Allahu nuru samawati wal-ard. Okay, it's very inclined to the kasra. In languages such as Persian or in the English, every, best, the S sound, okay? And this is the key to making your fasaha sound Arabic with fasaha.
Like
just
native
consider,
speakers.
Just pretend that you want to say all the fathas like a eh, okay? Not a. We don't have a in Arabic. So if you say Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. This is not good fasaha, and this is not an Arabic accent. So the rules of tajweed, let's go over some of them in this single verse. The first word is the majestic name of Allah. The word Allah has a hamzatul wasl, or an alif of wasl at the beginning. So there is no vowel, short vowel, written above or below Hamzatul Wasl.
And the
you
sign is a
it.
Small sod above it.
Yeah, the small sod is written above the alif, which means that this is an alif of wasl, this is a Hamzatul Wasl. So Allah, everyone knows that it has a fatha, so it's not a big problem.
Yeah, if it is at the beginning of the utterance.
Exactly. This is very important. If it's at the beginning of the utterance, the fatha of Allah is pronounced. Otherwise, if like there's another short vowel before Allah, you shouldn't pronounce the Hamzatul Wasl with a fatha. You should not at all pronounce the Hamzatul Wasl, actually. So that is why we say Bismillahi. We don't say Bismi Allahi. Okay?
Yes.
Bismillahi. Huwallahu. Huwallahu. Sometimes there is a fatha and sometimes there could be a dhamma or kasra.
The point is that in the middle of the utterance, it is not pronounced.
Yes. نور السماوات. We have Ra with Tafkhim, نور السماوات. The Ra has a Dhamma. Due to the Dhamma that it has, we have to pronounce it with thickness.
Yes.
وَالْأَرْضِ. Just notice how Abdul Basit, he pronounces the Ra in Al-Arb. He doesn't say وَالْأَرْضِ. He makes a small pause on the Ra without any qalqala. وَالْأَرْضِ. So if you say وَالْأَرْضِ, that's incorrect. And it's very difficult to pronounce the Ra with tafkhim, without qalqala, and without trilling, takrir. It's easier if you say وَالْأَرْضِ. But you shouldn't say it like that.
It should be actually something like a tapping sound.
Tapping sound followed by a dragging sound. Yeah. So, the next rule of tajweed I want to talk about is Misbahunil Misbah or Zujajatinis Zujaja. These two are known as Iltiqa Usakinain, the meeting of two sakin letters. So in Arabic, it's impossible to pronounce two sakin letters
just next to each other.
Yes, of course. This is only if there is a sakin letter at the end of a word and the next word has a alif of wasl, a hamzatul wasl, followed by a sakin letter. This is when iltiqa of sakinain takes place, and this is when two sakin letters can't be pronounced.
They're juxtaposed.
But if there is another short vowel before two sakin letters, then, you know, they're both sakin. So it's possible to pronounce these two sakin letters. For example, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. The ta and the ha are both sakin. Okay?
If, but because there's... Actually, the final letter is one of two sakin letters that come together, it can be pronounced.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless it cannot be
pronounced. Yes, because, you know, in Arabic, the point is that you can't pronounce... You can't begin uttering a word with sukun. There has to be a vowel before it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And always, whenever iltiqa of sakinain takes place, there is the hamzatul wasl after the first sakin letter. Okay? So it's in between the two sakin letters, there's a hamzatul wasl. Remember, hamzatul wasl is not part of the word.
It is not pronounced, actually.
It's not pronounced. Okay? It's not originally part of the word. Okay? So we have misbahunil misbah. What happens? The noon of the tanween, which is the first sakin letter, okay? We have misbahun, the noon is sakin. Then we have al misbah, where the hamzatul wasl is not pronounced.
So what is pronounced is the lam sakin, is the sakin lam.
No, that's not right. The first sakin letter is pronounced with kasra.
No. The word al-misbah.
Of course, yes.
In the word al-misbah, the first actually second letter is noon of tanween, and the
which
second,
we give a kasra to, yeah. It. Only the second, yeah, yeah, that's
and,
right.
And
only the second second letter is pronounced.
Yes.
So, actually, in practice, we're going to have one second letter because we give a kasra to the first second letter.
Yes.
And the reason we give kasra to the first letter when iltiqa al-sakinain takes place, the first sakin letter, is that kasra is the easiest short vowel to pronounce. It is the lightest short vowel in the Arabic language.
So in brief, when two sakin letters come together, the first one receives a kasra.
Yes, definitely.
And then we pronounce it.
Yeah, exactly. So we have misbahunil misbah, and we also have zujajatinis zujaj. Of course, if you do waqf, there will be no iltiqa al-sakin.
Yes.
If you say misbah, then you say al-misbahu fi zujajah,
yes,
then you can continue to say
actually, there is no noon to be sakin and then to continue. Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, today we talk about the necessity of tadabbur, reflection and contemplation when you read the Quran.
Tadabbur means that when you read carefully, you try to examine it from different angles, not be pleased with the surface, not be pleased with the front, try to go beyond and deeper, and always know there is something new to discover. Either something new scientifically or something new for your life. Because you may say, I'm not a scholar. Okay, what about your life? There are many things that you can find for your own progress, inshallah. So, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to read the Quran with tadabbur, with reflection, contemplation, thinking. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open to our hearts and minds gates to this deep ocean and this deep treasure of knowledge and wisdom which is in the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma inni as'aluka برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء.
Dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the beginning part of this supplication. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء. O Allah, I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything. This mercy that envelops everything, we talked about that it surrounds the apparent and hidden aspects of beings.
All creatures, visible and hidden, from the largest to the smallest, are enjoying Almighty Allah's common blessing. The creation of existing beings and the provision of sustenance to them, the growing of plants, the development of the objects, the revelation of signs and miracles, the appointment of prophets, the guidance of misled, the living of the creatures, the descent of the angels, the restoration of the dead, the recompense to the believers, the chastisement of the wrongdoers, even the establishment of the day of resurrection itself, the heaven, the hell, the forgiveness of the believer's sins, and every goodness present in the world are all the instances of this embracing mercy. Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasa'at kulla shay. I ask you by your mercy that envelops everything, and this Almighty Allah's magnanimous mercy is not perceptible by our limited knowledge and partial understanding, but the supplicant is asking his Lord by something which is existing and has existed throughout the entire life, the embracing mercy, counting kulla shay, all the living and inanimate beings who are within the realm of Almighty Allah's blessings is not possible. So even if all the angels, jinns, and human beings become authors, using all the trees on the earth as pens and all the seas as ink, they cannot count but a few of the Almighty Allah's creatures, as some of the verses of the Holy Quran suggest.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy which encompasses everything and by your power by which you overcome everything and which submits to it everything and humble before it is everything and by your might by which you conquer everything and by your majesty against which nothing can stand And by your greatness which prevails over everything And by your authority which is exercised over everything And by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished And by your names which manifest your power over everything And by your knowledge which pervades everything And by the light of your face which illuminates everything Oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy, oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy.
To get a small amount of God's blessings toward his creatures, I assume it's necessary to study a few cases of these beings. So we can absorb some rays of Almighty Allah's knowledge. I assume in this way we can understand better the true meaning of this embracing mercy. رَحْمَتِكَ الَّتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Now, with the first glance, measuring the world with regard to its length, its width, its capacity, and the number of beings existing inside it is totally impractical. Yet a corner of this excellent creation of God, namely the planet on which human beings reside and benefit from the blessings of its sky and earth, is discernible via our senses and our experiences. Everything in this world, from microscopic germs and viruses, less than a thousandth of millimeters away from each other, to the galaxies and stars at the distance of millions of kilometers, are made of atoms. The atoms are so minute that they are not visible except by extremely powerful microscopes. There are 55 million atoms at the point of a needle. We magnify the point of the needle as a gigantic building. Each atom will seem like a fly creeping on one of the pillars. But by God's mercy, the atom itself is consisting of three basic particles: the electron, the proton, and the neutron. And these elements have negative, positive, and neutral electric charges respectively. Protons and neutrons form the core of the atom together, around which the electrons revolve along an axis, just as the moon revolves around the Earth's orbit. Countless atoms are the building blocks of this world, and no one yet knows how the material and building blocks of the world was formed and how they were created, but only the Almighty God knows. ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم, the Holy Quran says. I made them not witness the creation of heavens and the earth, not their own creation. We will, inshallah, continue talking about this living world in the next program. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن.
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting from IRIB. I'm your host, Haider al-Bahadli, and today we have our esteemed guest, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Today we have an interesting question. The question is as follows. How can we name our children Abdul Hussein and Abdul Nabi? Is that not kufr? Abdul Hussein and Abdul Nabi means, for the listener, worshipper of Hussein, worshipper of the Prophet. We should name our children Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, and names like that, etc. So is it okay to name our children Abdul Hussein, Sayyid?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, I don't agree with the translation that you provided for Abdul Hussein and Abdul Nabi, worshipper of Hussein or worshipper of Nabi. When we, in the tashahud, we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Here the word abd means servant, not worshipper. We need to, obviously in the Arabic language, a word can have many meanings. For example, the word wali means close guardian, lover, friend, master, authority. So it has different meanings. So you need to see which meaning are you applying. If we are about to apply only one meaning for every single word, where it has three, four meanings, this is something which is unjust. Obviously, it's not fair to do so. The word abd in the Arabic language means servant. Ibad means servants. And there is a synonym word for this.